verses with this, if you don't mind, and he would do the Sanskrit on all the verses up to 45, up to 47. Then we come back to 45 and do the word for word. Okay. I'll do it after. Go ahead. You go ahead.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Narayanam Namaskritam. Naran Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasatim Vyasam. Tato Jaya Mudiraye. Nasta prayasu avadresu nittam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama sloke bhaktir bhavati naistaki. So we are reciting today 12th canto, 8th chapter, text 42 to 45 under Srila Prabhupada's guidance and translation purported by his sincere followers. Together? Tashabito stira chereshito rangramulam. Jatsam na karma gunakala rajas pishanti. Jadbai stubanti ninamanti janje aviksham. Dhyanti veda idayamana istad aptaye.
We're going to do 45 responsibly.
Right, but we are reciting that.
Yeah, do Sanskrit.
Want to read the translation?
Now I'll read the translation after you get to with the Sanskrit.
So 43. Nannam tabangri upana. Together. Nannam tabangri upana dapabarga murte. Shemam janasya pariti bhaya ishabidda. Brahma vi. Viveta labato viparardha dishna kaleshate kim uto tatkrito bhauti kama kanam. And 44. You got it? That's 44? No?
Tadbhavada.
Tadbhai. 44. No, you're going. Yeah, that's it. Good. Tadbhai vajami rita diyastava padamulam hitte damatma chadacham guru prashay. Dehadi aparama sadantam avigna matram vinde tata et arhi sarva mani stiratam. Then 45, the final one. Sattam rajas
Raja.
Tama
Tama
itisha
itisha
Tavatma Bandho Maya Maya Stiti Loyadaya Hetobo Shah Lila Drita Jadapi Satta Mai Prashantai Nanne Ninam Vyasana Moha Vyas Chah Jaibham Sattam Rajastama Iti Shatavata Bandho.
Responsibly.
Tavatma bandho. Again. Sattam rajastama iti shatavatma bandho. Maya maya stiti lohodai heto vasya. Lila drita jadapi sattamai prashante. Nanne ninam vyasana mohavi ascha jabham. Sattam rajastama iti shatavatma bandho. Maya maya stiti lohodaya heto basha. Lila drita jadapi sattamai prashante. Nanne ninam vyasana mohavi ascha jabham. Sattam rajastama iti shatavatma bandho. Maya maya stiti lohodai heta vasha. Lila drita jadapi sattamai prashante. Nanne ninam besana moho vyas chabam. Please chant. Okay, can you just read the Sanskrit on the verses up to 47, please? Just the Sanskrit on the verses up to 47.
Word for word.
No, not word for word meaning. Don't worry about it. Just the Sanskrit.
Just
to 46 and 47.
Oh,
yeah.
Tasmatabeha bhagavan natatavakanam suklam tanum sadaitam kushala bhajanti jatsattavata purusharupam musanti sattam loka jata bhayam uttam sukham na channat. 47. Tasmai namo bhagavate purushaya bhumne vishaya vishya gurave paradayataya narayanaya rishe cha narottamaya hamsaya sangjate gire nigameshwaraya.
Okay. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om gyan tamananda Jayam Vishnu Pada Paramahamsa Vajakacharya Asatara His Divine Grace A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jayam Vishnu Pada Paramahamsa Vajakacharya Asatara His Divine Grace Sarasvati Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. All glories to the assembly devotees. All glories to the assembly devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Offer my respectful obeisances to all the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord who are full of compassion for the fallen conditioned souls. Please bless my endeavors. Thank you. Okay, so anyway, I'm not doing anything anyway. I'm just reading and repeating what the other acharya said. So anyway, so we'll start from 42, and the translation is, because you are the protector and the supreme controller of all moving and non-moving beings, anyone who takes shelter of your lotus feet can never be touched by the contamination of material work, material qualities, or time. Great sages who have assimilated the essential meaning of the Vedas offer their prayers to you to gain your association. They bow down to you at every opportunity and constantly worship you and meditate upon you. Translation. My dear Lord, even Lord Brahma, who enjoys his exalted position for the entire duration of the universe, fears the passage of time. Then what to speak of those whom Brahma creates, the conditioned souls? They encounter fearful dangers at every step of their lives. I do not know of any relief from this fear except shelter at your lotus feet, which are the very form of liberation. We'll go to 44. Translation. Therefore, I worship your lotus feet, having renounced my identification with the material body and everything else that covers my true self. These useless, insubstantial, and temporary coverings are merely presumed to be separate from you, whose intelligence encompasses all truth. By attaining you, the supreme Godhead and the master of the soul, one attains everything desirable. Translation and purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada.
One who falsely identifies himself as the material body or mind automatically feels entitled to exploit the material world. But when we realize our eternal spiritual nature and Lord Krishna's supreme proprietorship over all that be, we renounce our false enjoying propensity by the strength of spiritual knowledge. And 12.8.45. Translation. O my Lord, O supreme friend of the conditioned soul, although for the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of this world, you accept the modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance, which constitute your illusory potency. You specifically employ the mode of goodness to liberate the conditioned souls. The other two modes simply bring them suffering, illusion, and fear. Purport. The words Lila Dritta indicate that the creative activities of Lord Brahma and the destructive activities of Lord Shiva and the sustaining functions of Lord Vishnu are all pastimes of the absolute truth. Lord Krishna, but ultimately only Lord Vishnu can award a liberation from the clutches of material illusion, as indicated by the words Sattva Maya Prasantaya. Our passionate and ignorant activities cause great suffering, illusion, and fear for us and others. Therefore, they should be given up. One should become firmly situated in the mode of goodness and live peacefully on the spiritual platform. The essence of goodness is to renounce selfish interest in all of one's activities and thus dedicates one's entire being to the Supreme Lord, Krishna, who is the source of our existence. 46. Translation. O Lord, because fearlessness, spiritual happiness, and the kingdom of God are all achieved through the mode of pure goodness, your devotees consider this mode, but never passion and ignorance, to be a direct manifestation of you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Intelligent persons thus worship your beloved transcendental form composed of pure goodness along with the spiritual forms of your pure devotees. Purport. Intelligent persons do not worship the demigods who represent the modes of passion and ignorance. Lord Brahma represents passion, Lord Shiva represents ignorance, and demigods such as Indra also represents the modes of material nature. For Lord Vishnu or Narayana represents pure spiritual goodness, which brings one realization of the spiritual world, freedom from fear and spiritual bliss. Such benefits can never be derived from impure material goodness. Let's read that one again. Such benefits can never be derived from impure material goodness, for it is always mixed with the modes of passion and ignorance. As clearly indicated in this verse, the transcendental form of God is fully constituted of eternal spiritual goodness, and thus has no tinge of the material mode of goodness, passion, or ignorance. And the last verse here, 12.8.47. I offer my humble obeisances to him, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the all-pervading and all-inclusive form of the universe, as well as its spiritual master. I bow down to Lord Narayana, the supremely worshipful deity appearing as a sage, and also to the
saintly Nara, the best of human beings, who is fixed in perfect goodness, fully in control of his speech, and the propagator of the Vedic literature. Okay, so I'm going to say a few things on 12:8:45. First of all, we're talking about Markandeya, and he's a very exalted personality. So don't try to imitate him. I was studying and listening to his pastimes, and it's so amazing, you know, for someone to love Krishna so much. And we can't even fathom this type of behavior. We can't even approach that level of devotion. But fortunately, through the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Srila Prabhupada, we got a lot of mercy. And so we can approach Krishna, and we have to understand Krishna is, I was reading in, I think it was the second canto, Krishna is our eternal father. And Krishna sometimes is very tough on us. So, but it's good tough. It's good. So, when we're going through difficult times in our devotional service, and we all go through that, then we can just thank our own previous activities and thank Krishna for giving us a little bit less than what we deserve. But just imagine the pastimes of Markandeya. Just imagine what he went through. Then he ended up meeting Krishna on the banyan leaf. Little baby Krishna, and he meets him, and tricky Krishna then disappears. So he goes back to his journey, trying to please his beloved spiritual master. And let me ask, I was trying to do some research. Who is Markandeya's spiritual master? Does anybody know, other than his father? Who is his spiritual master? Okay, so I guess that's... Who is it? Yeah, well, his father is, of course, but anyway. All right, so also we're going to go back to 45. All right, so on the purport, I'm going to read the translation and the purport again. Oh, my Lord, O supreme friend of the conditioned soul, although for the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of this world, you accept the modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance, which constitute your illusory potency. You specifically employ the mode of goodness to liberate the conditioned souls. The other two modes simply bring them suffering and illusion and fear. Purport. The word Lila Dritta indicate that the creative activities of Lord Brahma, the destructive activities of Lord Shiva, and the sustaining functions of Lord Vishnu are all pastimes of the absolute truth, Lord Krishna. But ultimately, only Lord Vishnu can award liberation from the clutches of material illusion, as indicated by the words Sattva Maya Prasantaya. Our passionate and ignorant activities cause great suffering, illusion, and fear for us and others. Therefore, they should be given up. One should become firmly situated in the mode of goodness and live peacefully on the spiritual platform. The essence of goodness is to renounce selfish interest in all of one's activities and thus dedicate one's entire being to the Supreme Being, Lord Krishna, who is the source of our existence. So I have a question for our exalted audience here. I'm very fortunate to have the association of such wonderful personalities. So I want to ask, how do we renounce selfish interests in our activities while we engage in devotional service? So Prabhupada is saying
the term dovetailing.
Well, you want to elaborate on that a little, or you just want to go with that?
Can elaborate on dovetailing.
Yeah, this a couple of sentences.
It's a carpentry tool, or it's shaped like this.
Carpentry tool. Two pieces of wood.
One's own desire.
Okay, here's the microphone coming.
Okay, from the top. In response to your inquiry, the term dovetailing is employed, meaning one has their natural propensity and there's the will of the Lord, and we try to combine them as one. So in cabinet making, there's a shape of a cut called the dovetail. You can see it on the edge of a drawer if it's a quality piece of furniture. So it's shaped like this, and another piece of wood is shaped like this, so they merge as if one, connected. So one has their own selfish interest, and they try to employ that in Krishna's service. And then gradually it becomes interesting Krishna's will and surrendering one's skills in his work.
Give me an example of selfish interest.
Eating.
Okay. Eating for sense gratification.
In general, eating without sense gratification is still selfish interest.
Okay. Okay. So, anybody else? So the question is, how do we renounce selfish interests in our activities while we engage in devotional service?
Now, there's a restriction for sannyasis, and that's supposed to cook for themselves. But they're permitted to cook for the deity. When they cook for the deity, they take the remnants. So that's a standard for all devotional practice, is that not to engage in selfish activities, but to engage in Krishna's activities and the byproducts, maintain one.
Really?
Seems really odd to me. Okay, so eating is required to keep body and soul together. Eating for sense gratification is not. But you can enjoy delicious preparations for sense gratification after they've been offered to Krishna. So one employs their natural talents in the kitchen, and the result is enjoyed by Krishna first, then one enjoys.
Okay. Okay, the question once again is, how do we renounce selfish interests in our activities while we engage in devotional service? Any more?
I was thinking that the chapter 5 in the Bhagavad Gita, and then I jumped to chapter 18 where Krishna says you're going to engage in activities because of your nature anyway. So if you do it for Krishna, because he's directing the wanderings of everyone, it's better for you. So your intelligence is starting to develop a little bit there. So he says, do what you want to do. And you're supposed to voluntarily understand. And of course, you said selfish, so if you look at the derivation of the word selfish, it means actually for yourself. So in one sense, you don't give up selfish desires, you just redefine what the self is, jivera sarupoi krishnera nityadas. So your real selfish activities is to engage in devotional service, because that is the higher self controlling the lower self. So that's the function of the intelligence once one understands the Bhagavad Gita, and it ends in 1866, that you give up all those engagements. So you're following the instructions, and it's a gradual process.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Trevor Kama?
The four ashram come into play also, where when one is a brahmachari, you know, he possesses almost nothing except his, you know, his dhoti and whatever. When he's a grihastha, life is different, because then he has to support his family, so many different things. So that's a completely different lifestyle altogether. It's not like you can assess a grihastha with a brahmachari, or even vanaprastha or a sannyasi. Their lifestyle are also different. They're almost totally renounced. All the other three ashram are really renounced ashram. Just the grihastha ashram. And it is a little technical, you know, I mean, the grihastha ashram, especially because we're not really in the varnashram system like in ancient time. It's a little difficult to define, but of course we know what Srila Prabhupada says. You know, you give a certain percentage to the preaching and you take care of the family and so forth. See? So sometimes it may, for a grihastha, he may seem a little selfish, you know, because he possesses cars and things, and, you know, I mean, house, whatever, and the other ashrams don't possess anything, you know, so we have to be very careful here in drawing the line, because the grihastha lifestyle is different, really. But also they could fall into selfishness. Everyone within the different ashram can fall into some degree of selfishness, but to the degree they follow the orders of the spiritual master, follow the regulative principles, then they are less selfish, or they seem to be less.
On that note, me and Madame Mahar were briefly discussing the prayers of Saranagrati, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And can you repeat what you told me earlier? Because he was a grihastha. So it's selflessness doesn't necessarily mean what ashram you're in or something like that. Krishna was also a grihastha. So it's so anyway, repeat that.
I was thinking of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. We're so fortunate to have his association and his vani. He sang many, Prabhupada liked the one, Manasa Deha Geha, that everything actually is Krishna's, and I'm in this service, so my wife is actually Krishna's, so she's Krishna's devotee, so we take care of the devotees, and this is the way that you can see he's giving us that vision of Saranagati, is surrender that whatever I would say is mine is actually yours. But since you have me thinking it's mine, let me use it in your service in that way, remember you.
Yes, thank you. See, and in that mood, once we understand that everything is Krishna's anyway, so what are we renouncing? Everything is Krishna. So yes, Prana Govinda.
Yeah. I'm the center of attention, center of everything, has to be renounced.
Yeah.
Krishna is eternally in the center. If we go back, Ramanujacharya says, when the living entity's perception is covered by the illusion, self-centeredness is born, selfishness is born. So we can see the cause where the selfishness originated. That the knowledge of the absolute truth and bhakti was completely covered by the illusion, then the selfishness, self-centeredness takes birth. When somebody adopts the subordination, just serving Krishna is not enough. Serving Krishna under eternal associate has to be focused, that I am always servant of the servant. Because no living entity has a right to serve Krishna directly. Neither it is recommended in Shastra, nor it says. Even though we say we are servant of Krishna, but we are always servant of the servant. When the acceptance of the under guidance is in the heart, and then devotee engage under Guru's guidance, that time the self-centeredness or selfishness disappears. I will not be in the center. Very interesting point you put, because this also question raised, where do you get the energy to really respect all the living beings, especially all the devotees? Always remain humble. Where do you get this energy, potency? So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur said, when you remove the selfishness out of your day-to-day mental, body and speech activity, you will get the connection of that energy. And you can act on it. If somebody say, I cannot, it's like it's too much. No, it's not too much. The selfish, self-centeredness is the focus point. That's why. Even glorifying Guru Vaishnava sometime, I'm glorifying, oh, I saw this, oh, I was told this, oh, I'm putting myself, surrounding by Guru. The glorification of Guru Krishna, they are in the center of my glory, not me. Then automatically, spiritual vibe will revive automatically.
Thank you, Prabhu. And thank you. Ladies, anybody would like to say anything? One very important point, and this is Prabhupada, this is in our scriptures, and like Prana Govinda was just saying that, we have to accept the spiritual master. You know, we're serving under the direction of the spiritual master. And one situation that came up in my endeavors in serving my spiritual master is I ran into this gentleman the other day, one of my first customers. I distribute books out of my Uber. Well, I shouldn't mention that, but anyway, out of my car. So anyway, this one of my first customers was this guy, and I have Bhagavad Gita's and Science of Self-Realization, the books all around my car, in the pockets and everything. So as soon as he gets in the car, he was a veteran. I picked him up at the emergency room in the veterans hospital. So he was on crutches, and a black body gentleman. So anyway, as soon as he gets in, he says, Krishna. And I was like, wow. You know, he saw the picture of the book there, you know. So then, so he tells me, he says, yes, I'm studying Reiki. I'm studying all of these different paths and all this, you know. So I listened to him for a few minutes and everything. So I was very much enlightened that he was at least talking about Krishna, you know. So we got to talking, And I wanted to explain to him about the Maya body philosophy, because like my beloved spiritual master says, is if we become chased to one path, and if it's a bona fide path, that will help us make some spiritual advancement. And so quite often you run into people, New Agers and stuff like that, they're following a lot of different paths, and they get confused. And the gentleman, he told me, he said, so I was explaining to him, I said, our Krishna is the predominator, and we are the predominated eternally. Because in some Maya body philosophy, there's some confusion that might come up with the term the jiva being eternal and Krishna being eternal. So when I said that, I say Krishna is eternally the predominator, and we are predominated. We are energy of Krishna, but we are very, very small, very, very minute, insignificant. But we are Krishna's part and parcel. So anyway, he told me, he said, I'm glad you told me that. He said, my mind was so confused. And I was thinking, yeah, well, Krishna, you know. So the sincerity of a person will guide that person. Krishna will guide that person, and that person will come to Krishna somehow or some way, in terms of we're out doing book distribution and things like that. So it's you know, like in the prayers that we sing in the morning to the spiritual master. The spiritual master is telling us how to serve, taking prasadam, following the instructions of the spiritual master. And when we do that, then through the mercy of Krishna, we might get some purity. We can never come up to the standard of Markandeya, but we will eventually, through the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and our spiritual masters, that we can, follow their instructions the best way we can. But it's very important to study what they want us to do. And so I think I'll stop right there. Are there any questions or comments? Yes, Raga, Mother Raga.
Thank you for a thoughtful class. I'm wondering, because in this purport to verse 45, if you're reading it, it actually says that only Vishnu can give liberation. And I was very surprised, because I'm like, so what about Krishna? Isn't he able to give liberation also?
Yes. Well, you just like we were discussing here, that when the spiritual master is pleased, you know, just like in our case, Bhakti Tirtha Swami in Spiritual Warrior 2, he says, if through the mercy of Krishna, and Krishna is the spiritual master, but we understand. We understand the difference there, but when you leave your body, if the spiritual master is pleased, Krishna, the spiritual master will introduce you to Krishna. He will personally introduce you to Krishna, and I'm just repeating his words. These are not my words. And we probably couldn't even fathom that kind of exchange, you know. This seeing Krishna, you know. There's so many descriptions in scripture where devotees who saw Krishna, they fell out. They it's such a wonderful experience. So it's through the mercy of the spiritual master. Yeah. Okay, any more questions or comments? Okay. Thank you very much. Sriman Bhagavatam Ki. Srila Prabhupada Ki. Yeah.